What up, everybody? It's Double G for the Fight Game podcast back from Las Vegas. Though, if you watched We're Live Pal, you would have known that. And John, I had a bet with Andrew on We're Live Pal.
I heard about this.
So the bet was,
knew you were gonna lose this.
Does Tony Khan say CM Punk's name in the promotion for the Collision debut on June 17th? Mm-hmm. And I said no. Andrew said yes. Andrew won the bet, and I was actually happy to see him win the bet. I was like, we got to promote here. Like I want to see Tony. Tony's got to have his promoting pants on for this one, because we got to sell some tickets. Mm-hmm. And so I was very happy that he did. I thought they were going to get a little cute, so I lost the bet. The bet was about a bottle of scotch. Though Andrew's not a scotch drinker, so maybe on We're Live Pal next week, we'll kind of figure out what to get him instead. He's more of a Pinot Grigio white wine drinker. That's what we drank the last time we were in Vegas when I hung out with him. So we'll figure that out. But I did lose the bet. We'll talk about CM Punk here in a second. But just some quick thoughts. Like, did you think that he was going to say CM Punk's name in the buildup this time?
Once I saw your announcement on Twitter first,
yeah,
you had a bet after the episode, or maybe after you post that during the episode,
yeah.
And I was like, then I soon after saw that tweet because I was at work, it was kind of going back. I see Tony Khan has a big announcement,
yeah.
I was all right, I said, Garrett lost this one,
so we'll let folks in on the kayfabe here. So, what happens is, we do the bet, and people are thinking, oh, Andrew knew, he suckered you. No, he really didn't know. He's using his brain. He has some information, but right as we get off the call, right as we get off the show, or the live stream stops, that's when all the good stuff happens, by the way. Once the live stream stops, then Andrew goes, I got to tell you something. And then it's like the best 10 minutes of the show that actually doesn't make the show. And so then he goes, uh-oh, somebody's telling me that Tony's making another announcement on Wednesday. And I was like, okay, I lost. It was for 5 minutes, it was a bet. And then soon thereafter, I knew I lost. But again, this is when I'm happy to lose, because I think they do need the promoting chops here to really get the best out of this Collision debut. All right.
Well, yeah, it sold like 500 tickets. This is an announcement.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully they get to 11 or 12 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be great to see if they could pull that number, because, you know, I was at Double or Nothing. I don't know how many people were in the building. It didn't feel like 12 or 13,000. It felt probably like 10. It felt very similar to San Francisco, by the way. It was like San Francisco and Las Vegas felt like a very similarly sized, similarly loud.
Really?
Audience, yeah.
San Francisco didn't seem like that many people were there for for Revolution. You're at
Revolution, yeah. Not the Cow Palace.
Yeah, I would say no one's at that show or Rampage, which I didn't go to though.
Rampage, that Rampage is maybe the worst professional wrestling show I've ever been to. Yeah. But all right, so let's talk about a few things before we hit our the beginning of our show. Thumbs up, thumbs down. We're also going to do something with these shows that happen over the weekend, you know, because we record on Thursday night, doesn't come out till Friday. There's really no use for John and I to go through Double or Nothing or Night of Champions. Everyone's gotten their takes out, but we will kind of give one thing that we liked about each show, one thing we didn't like about each show, and that'll be the analysis. John just put up his podcast on the Fight Game Media Network feed, so he goes more into depth on his thoughts on that show, plus NXT Battleground, which I did not watch, but I know you liked. So, and the other thing, I just want to make this quick mention. Dark Side of the Ring Season 4 began on Tuesday night with the Chris Candido and Sonny, Chris and Tammy episode. It was really good.
That's what I heard, yeah.
I was the reason why I mentioned this is because Dave and I are going to interview Evan Husney, the co-creator of the Dark Side, tomorrow, actually later Friday, at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And this interview, we're not doing behind the video paywall. So this will be free on just check out the F4W YouTube channel and you can watch us live stream with Evan. And so I just wanted to promote that. But also, I kind of went into the dark side thing. I was like reading the stuff, like what the subjects are. And I was like, ah, man, they're missing like a headliner. Like there's no Owen Hart. There's no Chris Benoit. There's no Brian Pillman. There's no Randy Savage. They might struggle. And then they put out that first episode and I was like, maybe they won't. Like it was just really, really good. Like they've hit such a fantastic formula with this show. And Chris Candido, man, what a compelling figure for someone who, you know, he had to be a pretty hardcore pro wrestling fan to really know his work well. Like people remember him in the Body Donnas with as Skip, and then you know, the tag team with Dr. Tom Pritchard. Like if you're a WWE fan in the mid '90s, you would remember that act, but there was the Smoky Mountain stuff. Then there was the ECW stuff. There was the TNA stuff that happened after. And so, you know, there are a lot of stuff that I'm sure that I'd read in his bio in the Observer that I just forgot, but I thought it was really, really good stuff. So I know you'll like it. I think this season, what it really does is it really goes to the hardcore old school pro wrestling fan. Cause if you see the subject, it's like,
yeah,
the Marty Jannetty story.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm looking forward to the most just because he's a nut. But I like the slate this time. I thought maybe the year before was a little more. They're just trying to go for the sleaze of the sleaze stuff.
Yeah. And
this one, like, you know, Evan Hudson, he was just on with, I think, Cornette's show just recently. And he...
And as to no surprise, Cornette is tremendous in this show.
Yeah, he's on like a bunch of episodes. But he was saying, but... he mentioned like the Magna TA episode came through the, remember they did the territories?
Yep.
So it kind of came out of that.
Territories was a little disappointing, I would say.
Yeah, I didn't watch the territory one, but I'm just saying like they had a lot of interview footage already with TA and they just kind of like, hey, there's something, there's a story obviously there with the accent, but there's more to be told. So they decided to do an episode on that. And also, I'm really interested in the Graham story. The you know that's a
the problem with that story though, if you think about it, is not a lot of footage, and the people who would really know that story well, those people are probably passed on or really old, right?
Well, a lot of the old timers, but his daughter survives.
Mm.
And
that's a good hook.
It's going to be a basically, from my understanding from, he didn't really try to spoil too much, but the daughter, of course, survived, you know, her grandpa committed suicide, her brother committed suicide, her grandson committed suicide. There's other members of the family that committed suicide. And she's an advocate for, you know, talking about, you know, suicide prevention and talking about your problems. So it's going to be like, you know, after this, well, you know, one woman going through all this, seeing all this tragedy in her life, she's using it to do something positive out of it, you know? So I think it's, I don't know. I kind of like what they have going on this
season. You know, I'm actually wrong about that. Those guys are probably in their 70s because, you know, we just talked to Steve Kern. Steve Kern. And he's in his early 70s.
Who knew Mike well.
Yeah, and he has a lot of Mike stories in his book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it'll be fine. For some reason, I was just thinking, like, you know, they're a little bit two out there, but no, there's, I mean, there's a good community of people who are who know those stories pretty well.
And for Clips of Florida, there's a ton out there. I mean, WWE bought a lot, but it's still a lot out there. I'm sure WWE is pretty cooperative, I think, with a lot of stuff anyways with them. So
all right, so let's talk about the first thing here. Oh, one other mention, doing a show with Big D. People who follow me, follow Fight Game Media from way back in the day when we were like Fight Game Blog, they'll know my relationship with Big D, but he's going to join Fight Game Podcast Extra. We're going to live stream in the morning on Friday, and then we will post that episode on Saturday morning. So just a heads up if you know, want to check it out, Big D and I, we've only seen each other in person twice, and one of those times was in Vegas. So we'll talk Vegas F4W convention stuff on that show too. All right, let's hit the bigger stuff on this show. So, why don't we do the AEW Dynamite and Night of Champions, one thing that we liked.
I mean,
and
the
one thing that we
Dynamite or like. Double Nothing?
No, Double or Nothing. Sorry. Oh, okay. Double or Nothing and Night of Champions. One thing we liked, one thing we didn't like, and it's actually we'll do WWE show first, because the AEW, the thing that I will point out that I didn't really like, will actually lead into our thumbs up and thumbs down. So let's start with WWE. Give me one thing that you really liked about that show.
Night of Champions, I overall thought it was a really good show. I did not watch the whole Bianca Asuka match. I just saw the finish, but from understand that was good. But from, I mean, my favorite match was probably the one, I know it's probably not your favorite, but was Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes. I thought that was a really, like, just kind of old school pro wrestling storytelling with, you know, the babyface coming in with the injury and, you know, giving his all, fighting through it, end up losing at the end, which I kind of expected because it was their second. I knew it was going to be the second match of probably, but I really enjoyed that match. And there's a couple others I got to pick, like Becky and Trish.
Over-delivered that.
Over-delivered. It was freaking fantastic. But I just really enjoyed from the opening bell to the finish of Brock versus Cody a lot.
Okay. That is actually the thing that I didn't like. And I think it's just more the story in general. Because, you know, I have this fear. It's almost like this impending doom that somewhere Cody's going to fall off from being hot. Like, who can stay hot forever, right? But he's doing such a great job. And when, you know, when he came into the ring the other night before the pay-per-view, and, you know, his arm is a target because he's got it wrapped in ice, and Brock is just laughing at this dude. I was like, I get it. You're courageous. You wrestled with a torn pec.
Yeah.
But man, you're a goober because you're going to get your ass kicked. And so that happens. And then we lead into the match, and he's got the interview with Triple H in the back. You know, what would you do if this was you? And so the story was, well, don't see the doctor, because if the doctor sees your arm, not going to let you wrestle. And so I guess he saw the doctor, because I turn on Night of Champions and this dude is in a neoprene sleeve that they try and say is a titanium brace / cast.
Yeah.
And so he walks into the ring and he's, you know, he's really like protecting his arm. He's like keeping it on the opposite side of Brock at all times. Mm-hmm. He's doing a really good job. He's playing cat and mouse. You know, Brock is chasing him. And then all of a sudden, this guy's jacked up arm, so scared, unless he was doing the old Bret Hart and tricking Brock into it, just starts hitting this dude with the cast.
Well, if you remember, he hit him once, like he kind of threw it out of desperation, and he hit Brock once and realized, oh shit, it's actually okay to use, and it's legal for some reason because they had some kind of no disqualification rule. But then all of a sudden he got it, almost the green light went off, like, I can use this and use it to my advantage, because, you know, Brock was just he's the beast and he's just going after Cody there. So I thought that was really good.
Do we not have Plaster of Paris? Do we not have something that resembles an actual weapon instead of a neoprene arm brace?
Yeah, I don't know why they went that route. Maybe I don't know why he could just got it casted or something, or they could have done something to where, but whatever, I liked it. It reminded me of just old school Bayface territory, you know, going in there injured, still, you know, against doctor orders, because he's gonna not gonna back down. Dusty with the knee, or, you know, with the leg with Flair, Jerry Lawler, you know, with the eye patch on, you know, blinded one eye, going against Dundee, trying to stay away from Dundee, but Dundee keeps peppering that blinded eye, you know, like it's just good old classic wrestling. And
I understand the process. I just did not like the result. I did not buy the result for what they did in the ring. Now, the other thing that makes me a little worried is Cody cuts his promo on Raw on Monday. And, you know, he's making sure that the fans still believe in him, which I get that. But he started talking about how, you know, Brock made him pass out, but he didn't make him tap or he didn't make him quit or whatever it was. And then he started to try and say that, like that, that means that, you know, Brock is more scared of him than he is scared of Brock or something like that. And I was just like, you know, I just don't buy that. I don't buy that one bit. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe the audience buys it because he's still over like hotcakes.
You think he meant by like the attacks and injuring his arm like he did is like.
Yeah, just like. Look at all the things he's done one-on-one in the ring.
Like he's attacking him. Cody's not running around trying to attack Brock, you know. Yeah. So.
But it was more like you've done all these things to me and I still am not going to quit. And that makes you scared of me or whatever. And I was like, maybe. I don't know. It did not hit with me, but also I didn't like the match. Not the actual in ring, but just the whole display and the story that they were telling. I didn't think it was a home run.
In his promo on Raw, did he mention anything about being out? They talk about him being out for any time, length of time. Cause I was wondering if he's going to be at wrestling at Money Bank, if that's where the rubber match will be, or they can try to hold it off till SummerSlam, which is a pretty long
time. That's a good question. Cause we looked at this last week. Money in the Bank is coming
up first, right?
It's coming up in a month, so then SummerSlam will be August, I guess, or earlier mid-August. So yeah, you're right. Holding it off would be a very long time, but you know, maybe you know, we already talked about his super healing Dr. Zahorian power, so that's should be ready to go. Okay, so now I went in reverse. I'll tell you the thing that I really liked. I'll take a bullet for Jey Uso. I just want. Like that guy, he is so like there's, you know, I've mentioned this before, kind of how I watch wrestling. I don't really get sucked into it. I'm trying to watch it and trying to analyze it. And there are moments where it'll get me and I'm like, oh, man, like this is actually really cool. Like I feel like, you know, a fan watching the show. That was one of those moments because I'm watching Jey and Jimmy saves him. Boom. Super kick Roman. Boom. Super kicks Roman again. And he's like, bro. I'm your brother. Like, I got you. It's me and you now. Mm-hmm. And Jay's just looking. He's like, Jimmy's trying to pull him out of the ring. We got to go. We got to go. And Jay's like, goes out of the ring. Joe, you know, Roman shoot name. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I just want to see this guy win everything. I love me some Jey Uso. So that the end of the Bloodline story.
Yeah.
Won with me. I was a little worried. Because I heard the result before I saw the match. I was like, Solo had to take this pin. But I think it was, you know, it was enough. He took the super kick from his big bro. And then he took both finishers. And so he lost. So I was fine with it. But yeah, man, Jey Uso. I'm on Team Jey here.
Yeah, that was good. I thought that was a good cliffhanger, you know, with the Bloodline storyline and add a new wrinkle, which is good. Sounds like tomorrow or this tonight when a lot of people probably hear this, they're doing the 1,000 day celebration for Roman. Sounds like all the Samoan family is going to be there.
That'll be cool.
And I believe Rikishi will be there because he did tweet enough. So there might be a big Inoue family Bloodline just blow up. We'll see. We'll see what goes on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to SmackDown, at least that segment, which I kind of always just watched. Kind of fast forward to like the Bloodline stuff.
I know. I'm not there to watch, 12 minute SmackDown matches though. When you fast forward the commercials, it's really like 6 minutes.
It's a lot of the women's matches. I kind of fast forward unless it's certain women.
By the way, did you see Shotzi on Monday?
No. She all right? She get hurt again or nearly?
So she was all over the place. She was just timing was off. She was like confused. Mm-hmm. And unless my eyes are absolutely, completely fooling me, she was Raquel's partner in this match.
Mm-hmm.
And Raquel, let me think about it. How did this work? Someone was pinning Raquel, I think. And so instead of breaking up the pin, I think she dropped an elbow on Raquel to break up the pin. Like she missed the person who she was supposed to.
Was that Rhonda and Sheena or something?
Yeah. So yeah. It probably was. But like I didn't go back and rewatch it and go like, did I miss see that?
Yeah,
but
I missed Raw.
She was way off on a lot of stuff. Very kind of similar to Britt. Britt was more on than Shotzi was, but Britt had a bad night too on
Britt kind of has a lot of bad nights, but so does Shotzi too. So
I know I'll tell you, remind me and we'll talk about the conversation that I had with Big Dave about what you said about what we had talked about with Britt a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week. All right. What was the one thing you didn't like about Night of Champions?
What I didn't like? God, what I did not like about Night. I kind of didn't like the idea that I know why now after, by the end of the night, that they put the world title match on first. I didn't really like that at first. I was like, ugh. But I think you mentioned maybe that Seth had to be out of there early.
Someone said that. I don't know if that's true. That's, you know, that was just thrown out there as a possible
thing. You know, there might be right because Becky went on second. They could have both got out there together as a family, you know. So, but other than that, I honestly don't have any problems with Night of Champions. I thought it was really, really damn good.
I just thought it was very predictable, but everything was fine. Like, I didn't have an issue with, except for the Cody Brock thing. But that's me just like nitpicking because I'm so invested in Cody right now and what he does. But yeah, you know, pretty predictable stuff. I wish Ali wasn't treated like a joke so that,
I mean,
that match, you know, that, it's
that guy's never going to be a headliner at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but then don't put him in that match. Like, I understand why they put him in the match, but it just works.
It's one of those things that works there. But if this is like, I think I mentioned this on my Take It Home podcast, that if this is Ali versus Gunther on Raw or SmackDown in the States, you beat that guy in 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Gunther just, but this is one of those things where it's a hometown, you know, boy, and he gives a good effort, and you know, but it was still a pretty dominant win overall, though, by Gunther. It was, you know,
when you call a pay-per-view United Champions, it was very clear there were two matches that were quasi squash matches on a pay-per-view called United Champions. That was the Rhea match, and that was this match. So
yeah, I really like the Rhea match a lot too.
Some of that is to, you know, we want to have some longer matches, and we'll put these on, and they'll be short, so we could still have the length. I get that, but you know, for, I don't know, I just thought, predictable. Well, like
the Rhea's booking, I thought was great. It's like, you know, they could have had a 15-minute match, and it would have been great because Natalia's really good, and so is Rhea. But Natalia, not going to gain either way. She's been there forever. But Rhea gains more by a dominant win like she did. That was great. You know, like you got to keep making her this unbeatable champion. And so I was shocked by the finish of the Bianca-Asuka match.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay. You kind of could take the belt off Bianca. And I think she can kind of get it.
She's a little cold. She's not completely cold. They took the belt off her before she possibly got completely cold.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a positive.
She can get it back, and I would still love to see title for title WrestleMania.
Yeah,
Rhea and Bianca, and like one of the night one main event or something like that. If they could,
Charlotte's probably coming still as well.
Yeah, she'll be back. Yeah.
All right. So AEW, Double or Nothing. Why don't you start with what you liked? I know that list is a little shorter than what you didn't like. So, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, the match I liked, I think was ended up being the four-way for the heavyweight title. You know, I think for what it was, you know, it's a four-way with those guys. We expected a lot of action. We got it. So I like that. I thought that match was – I thought they got a little too cute with stuff. You know, like I think the, you know, them all doing the finishers of their mentors was cool. But they kind of did some other like smaller things that are a little too cute, like – you know, one guy punch like Darby punches MJF. MJF punches Sammy. Yeah, Sammy punches Jungle. But they did that a few times. Like
a little silly. You know,
yeah, but overall, I thought it was a good match. I love the finish where MJF once again got the side headlock takedown pin on Darby. So whenever Darby does a finally pin MJF, he's definitely going to beat him with that side headlock takedown. Yeah. So. That was cool. So I enjoyed that match.
You know, it was built around the idea that you had these four young guys and the three young guys, as we've seen by the build, who were not the champion, they were out to prove themselves and they needed to. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, poor Jungle Boy got the worst of it all. He maybe even took a step backwards in this entire build. But in the ring, you know, they wrestled very hard. The timing was great. But at the end, I thought the story was still Max is the one star and those guys are all underneath him. Like when all said and done, the guy who won, he felt that entire match like he was the giant star and those other guys were just, you know, the up and comers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. So I'm going to combine mine as a I won't do that. What I will combine, though, I'm going to combine for our thumbs up and thumbs down. But for my thumbs up for Double or Nothing, or sorry, my one good thing about Double or Nothing, I know you did not like this battle royal.
Oh, yeah. Horrible. I mean, the final three, final minutes were fine. But
yeah, yeah, yeah. The final minutes, they built
as a whole, no.
But what I liked, and this is, you know, a lot of our problems with battle royals are there's like one main story so everyone else who's not involved in that main story, they just go in the corner and they kind of hang out and they chit chat and they, you know, don't really do anything.
That happened in this one.
But there were like three or four stories going on at once. So outside of, you know, the guys who were just in there to fill spots or to get to 21, like we had to get to this mythical 21 number. You really should have put just 10 guys in there. And I think it would have been a really fun, really even better than what I thought. But
yeah,
you had the story of the Luchadors kind of teaming up together. That bled into a match on Dynamite. Unfortunately, they lost to the final bosses there in the opener. There was the story with Swerve, you know, he's kind of waiting, knowing that there's, you know, a lot of dudes in there and he's waiting to attack Keith Lee. So there was that. And then, you know, Orange Cassidy's having to take on all comers. So I liked that there were, like, you could sort of look at a few things and go, oh, this is a setup to something. You know, again, you know, I'm just like a giant Big Bill fan right now. I was kind of hoping that, you know, I was like, ah, they're not going to put, you know, every time, the last couple times he's wrestled, where I was like, ah, I kind of hope he wins.
I think you're doing nothing, that guy.
But yeah, so I liked it. And then, you know, you got to the end and I thought that they told the story very well. And where do you think they're going with Orange Cassidy here? They're going to do the match with Swerve.
I think Swerve's winning.
You think he's going to win?
Yeah, I think so. I think Swerve has to win something by now. And this is the time. Yeah, for me, the Battle Royal, I mean, I don't know. You saw it live, obviously, but did you watch it yet on video? Or
I did not watch it back, no.
Watch it back. I mean, like,
well, I mean, I could see, like, there's lots of guys hanging out on the outside.
I mean, babyfacers are sitting, like, the bell rings and babyfacers are sitting there waiting. And then they try to make a big deal about Swerve and his crew waiting. But there's also babyfaces on the floor, like Dustin Rose is hugging the guardrail, waiting to get in.
Yeah, because they couldn't ruin all those spots that were happening in there.
There's a God, dude. There's a Pentagon. Drove me insane this match. He has no clue. At one point, he just jumps on because, you know, the Luchadors love that. They want that crowd appreciation, right?
Yeah,
they're always clapping. They're always like, "Hey, look at me!" And I want some cheers. Come on, before I do something. Penta just jumps to the second rope and goes, Zero Meadow, because he knows he's not getting kicked out.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has to look like idiots right now and not trying to push him off. All he's trying to do is listen. No, he's a freaking idiot. And then, dude, you have to watch it for the fact when Brian Cage finally comes in the ring, he starts doing all these power moves. Jim Ross is like, you know, that Brian Cage, you know, man, you know, what a great potential that guy is, that power. Well, he's one, you know. And then after he says that, like within seconds, he's getting press slammed by Bandido.
Yeah.
and then you can just hear Jim Ross just go, fuck, why didn't he waste my time? Like, it was just classic, you know. I know I've seen Dave, like, one of the best battle royals. I'm like, I think a lot of people like the end, but I think you're really critiquing it from bell to bell. It wasn't that good, you know, but that's how I viewed it watching on television, at least.
All right, pick one thing that you didn't like.
Just one. Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho. What a letdown that was. Yeah. You know, I thought it just was just kind of boring. And then it, you know, maybe because last week we saw a better match with Strong and Jericho, and we saw Cole beat up Jericho, you know, get some revenge there. And I just thought it was just kind of flat. And then the finish of the ref stoppage was dumb. Like it kind of got a big moment when he hit his, did he hit his Canadian destroyer, or was it the knee, whatever it was? And I thought crowd popped. They just went home there. One, two, three.
It was like tied. Wasn't it like wrapped in the chain or something?
Yeah. It just kind of ended. The crowd went, oh, okay. Then sounds let down. I think this program is kind of in book backwards, in my opinion.
I believe you. I agree with you. The match, I feel like after Cole got his hands on Jericho after that show, and you know, he started beating him up. We're like, okay, like got him back. And then I mentioned this last week where the babyfaces actually get the advantage 2-on-1 on Jericho and then Roderick Strong beats him. So at that point, it's like, do I really need to see Adam Cole get his revenge again? Or do I want to see Britt get her revenge? And they actually did that on Dynamite. Not to say that that was a better match, because that also wasn't that good. But that was, I felt like that was the story that was actually would actually have been a better story to the fans. The problem, I thought the problem, you know, and it's funny because people were saying when I was talking to them in Vegas, they're like, yeah, but Adam Cole's had all these like matches in NXT where they, you know, he's pulling the canvas and showing the boards and they're fighting. And I was like, yeah, but that sort of match felt like something that they may have kind of prepared for a little while to make sure that they got all those things correct. Like this one felt like, I was like, man, like, you know, have either Jericho and Adam Cole been in a fight before? Because it didn't feel like a fight. And we know, you know, Jericho put a front face lock on Goldberg, baby. You know, we don't even know.
A lot of it is Jericho's 50. He's older, slower, you know, and I think he still tries to hang with the kids. I just don't think he can, you know, like, shouldn't be taking a Canadian story like that late in the match and look like garbage, you know, like, but they should have, I don't know. It wasn't that good. And I was like, man, this is it. You know, this is what we got.
And then, you know, if we're going to really lay into this Adam Cole thing of revenge and he hates Jericho and he wants to kill him, you know, he's throwing these, he's got the mount, you know, with the ground and pound. And the second Aubrey waves him off, he stops. I was like, I thought you hated this guy. Why don't you keep punching him? Like, make somebody pull you off to show your disgust that this guy is like, no, I won, match over.
And those hammer fists you were throwing look like shit too, you know? So, yeah, wasn't good at all.
All right. The thing that I was – okay, so why don't we'll let this be my negative thing, but I want this to bleed into our thumbs up, thumbs down. And we'll just play the music now.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Because my thumbs up and thumbs down is from the same match and same program, I'm going to give Chris Statlander the thumbs up because she is the chosen one to end the Jade streak. However, did not like the way that they did it.
Yeah.
In my mind, when Chris comes out, and I know everyone's telling me, yeah, but Jade's been doing this thing all along where she's asking for other people to come out.
When?
That's for
on
her.
Rampage, for 200 overall viewers.
But whenever. but that's for her.
Yeah.
This is got to be for Chris, and Chris is the babyface. She needs to come out and be like, hey, you just had a match. I just came out. You have no idea that I was coming out. I want you at your full strength on Dynamite, and I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to win your title. Go celebrate your win. You know, Jade's entrance was like a babyface entrance too. Like, go celebrate your win with your sorority, and I'll get you on Dynamite. The problem, and I compared this immediately to what a lot of people hated about when Big E won the title, because he cashed in the Money in the Bank briefcase, you know, kind of as a surprise. And I just thought the tone of that was a little off, and that Chris kind of looks like someone who needs help to beat the big boss. And I wanted her to beat the big boss on Dynamite in a match, everyone at full strength, challenge, so you can kind of build it up. Build it up as one of the two main events of that show. Tell Chris's story a little bit. Let Jade cut a promo and maybe even raise the stakes on how important this belt is to her. And then you have the match. And then I think Chris gets so much more out of it, rather than you have this moment, which is a great moment, especially for Twitter, because you didn't have to buy this pay-per-view to see this moment. It was all over Twitter. I think AEW's Twitter, by the way. And so you have this moment, and my worry, only because we've been watching AEW since the beginning, my worry is that Chris, now she's the brand new car that has just been driven off the lot and the value has already gone down. And I don't know if they can recreate that moment for her in this in this championship run. And then when I saw that Nyla was the first competitor, I was like, Nyla is a fine person for her to face, but Nyla is always the first person the babyface has to beat. To like, there was like no, like I wanted to see some, you know, I wanted to see something different with that, to show me that they understand that Tony just beat their Goldberg. I mean, Chris just beat their Goldberg. Like, that's how big of a win this was. And then it just didn't feel that way on Dynamite. So that is both my thumbs up, because thumbs up to Chris. I think, you know, I think it's awesome that she's the one that was chosen, but thumbs down to kind of the whole presentation. And I know Jade said, oh, you know, I'm going to do something, but poor Taya, geez, what an afterthought after that.
Oh,
match.
No, now that she's now, oh, I suggest she needs to go heel after she got beat flat at this pay-per-view. And looks like that's what she's going. But what's she mad about? That Chris stole her moment. She lost clean in the middle from Jade's finisher. Jade fucking kicked out of her finish, you know.
But that's also the part of it is Taya's loss is like the story for Taya should be, man, you took Jade just to the edge, couldn't win. Oh, but this woman comes and wins, and kind of just
And like for Taya's like excuse, she could say like I wore her down, that's why you won. But if Jade snuck out a victory over Taya, maybe you could do that story. But Jade kicked out her finish and beat her with her finish. Yeah. So I didn't like this. The match, I didn't think it was good. The booking was bad too. Like, Jade has this. So what is Kishtana? She's just there in her gear, ready to go?
She's waiting. She just got cleared by the doctor, I think 30 seconds before the match started.
Yeah, and so, you know, she's like, oh, she wins, I'm going to be out there. I know she's going to call out someone. How does she know she's going to call out someone?
Yeah.
And then on Dynamite, her promo, her little pre-tape promo they filmed after she won, she's like, oh, I'm so happy that they trusted me with this opportunity. Like, trust to who? Did you win the title for real? Like, what are you fucking talking about, you idiot? God, how they let that air? How they let that air? So bad. On my Take It Home podcast this week, I'm going to talk about the booking of this, and I'm also going to talk about what I would have done with Chris Statlander and her eventually winning the title from Jay Cargill. So that's going to be my Take It Home podcast subject this week.
All right, since I stole all of it, why don't you give your thumbs up and thumbs down, and we'll move to our Dynamite discussion.
Sure. Thumbs up for me was in NXT Battleground. I thought NXT's been on a roll lately with these takeovers. And or whatever, their special events, really a sleeper show, in my opinion. Loved Ilya versus Dijakovic or Dijak, really good stuff. And my thumbs down is the announcement of the way they announced CM Punk going to be at Collision. It was just like, CM Punk's gonna be there. There's a graphic, no video pack, no big hype, you know. It was just, there's a video, there's a picture, and that was it. So that's my thumbs down.
All right, let's go to the big picture.
The big picture.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about your CM Punk, the presentation of the announcement, and that being your thumbs down for the week. So the way that this has been happening, these last announcements is, oh, we're bringing on Tony Khan and he's going to have this announcement. And, you know, it was the Wembley thing, and then it was Collision, and then it was now Punk. The three in a row, you know, instead of putting him in front of a live crowd, they're now just recording them backstage. It seems flat, like, because he's not the like the most bombastic, dynamic like presenter, right? He's just making sure that he gets the line out and it's good to go. I'm not saying they need a commissioner or anything, but man, if they had a spokesperson who had a little bit more of a dynamic personality, I think these things would hit a little bit more. Not like it really, really matters, but for the presentation of the TV show, you know, having someone be able to do that, like a back in the day when they had Regal or I don't know who else could do it. Maybe that's, I don't know, JR has, JR's Q score is really low with AEW fans at this point. But
JR would be good, actually, I think, like the cowboy, you know, the old, maybe keeping like the old cowboy Bill Watts deal with him. That'd be good. I think JR's not a bad idea, actually.
I just think the fans just do not enjoy him right now. He'd have to kind of go off TV for a little bit. But yeah, there's some, like, because, you know, the Tony Khan has an announcement is like great for Twitter because Tony's got a big following. It's great for, you know, the fan. It tells the fans that something is actually going to happen. But I just wish the presentation was a little bit different, a little bit more exciting. Like Vince McMahon doing that in, you know, 1993 versus how Tony does it right now. Like that, there's a whole marketing presentation behind it that I just think it should be like, this is huge. Like, I want to see Tony excited. Like, this should have been like,
I don't want to be excited. We saw him excited with a couple times out there.
I know, but that's what, you know, give us somebody else who can be excited for.
Oh, I get it. It's very awkward and off-putting because he like doesn't blink and he's trying to read these lines on the prompter or whatever, and he's trying to like go slowly and make sure he enunciates everything. But I just didn't like the idea. It was like CM Punk's gonna be there, and it was a graphic. Like, give me a video package of what this guy's done. Give me some highlights, some clips of his promos, him win the title, him having to vacate the title because he never lost it. You know, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, really hype it up. It was kind of just like, here, you see, he'll be on there, you know, with everyone else. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not that is kind of bummed out about that.
What do you think about as we get you know, 2 weeks out for Collision? Yeah. It really looks like Samoa Joe is going to be his first match and maybe even first program. That's kind of exciting. You look at that roster, and there's a good mix of folks who are on that roster. Now, the flip side of that is some AEW, hardcore AEW fans go, oh, I'm skipping that show because that's kind of like the ex-WWE guy show. And so that could be interesting to see if there is a little bit of divisiveness there. But
the thing about I think it's Samoa Joe and CM Punk's a good match, and if you're like a hardcore fan, you kind of, you know, they had like a one of the Ring of Honor classic rivalries, right?
Yep.
But it's another match that really appeals to the hardcores. But at the same time, like, we haven't seen Joe since what, February, you know? So he hasn't been on AEW television since. So like, it just kind of feels kind of cold. So now you got to kind of like, do you do it as just a match, like just a cold match on the first show, or do you build to it in week three of that show? You know, we'll see how they're going to do it. I was thinking maybe like Punk and Jericho were program, but I'm like, damn, Jericho did not come off good in this program with Adam Cole. So like, it's going to take him a while to kind of, you know, get himself back up there, I think, as well. I know he has a name. He can kind of, you know, skim, you know, quickly get by that. But I just think they're going to have to wait till that. But I don't know. Is it going to be a program or just a match to do like a really good match on the first episode or whatever, maybe the third episode?
All right, let's move through some of the big things that happened on this show. The BCC and the Elite, the fallout of Anarchy in the arena where the BCC win the match thanks to Don Callis and Takeshita. Mm-hmm. And Kenny Omega gets pinned by Wheeler Yuta. And then Wheeler also won on Dynamite, the opening match. Mox and Claudio and Wheeler beat the Lucha Bros and Bandido. Bandido got the giant suplex spot, holding him in the air. This was a fun match, mix of styles. You know, you got the heart, like the fighting style, the brawling style against the Lucha style. But it was cool to see them follow up with Wheeler Yuta. I get a kick out of Danielson in the announcing. Mm-hmm. He seems like he's like just having so much fun. He's just laughing constantly about stuff.
Yeah.
So they get the win, and they're still like, they come out of this thing, you know, smelling like roses. We don't exactly know if there's a relationship with Callis. It doesn't seem like it based on this first show.
Yeah.
Or that Takeshita is going to be involved in the BCC. Doesn't look like it. Sounds like Callis wants to create his own family, because, man, he came out later in the show and these people wanted blood from this man. They were so fired up at him.
Yeah, what's Bull Buchanan, Giant Silva, and Kurgan's in Hollywood. He probably doesn't want to come back to wrestling. Where's those guys at? Maybe can you bring back the
Oddities?
Is ICP coming out? this match here, I mean, it was kind of strange. They just had this Anarchy in the Arena match, all this blood, violence, and, you know, someone got super kicked with an exploding boot.
Oh, you know. The fireworks Jordans, man.
And they just come out of this match all, like, you know, ready to go, like, no bandages, just as they were, you know, like, yeah, we just doing it. We just had this war on Sunday. We're fine.
Mox is like, Anarchy in the Arena is like every Wednesday for me at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that was kind of strange. Bandido beat again. He just beat like a drum in AEW, isn't he?
I thought it's interesting because on Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer said, we should call him his name for this show. He's Big Dave on this show. He said Bandido's the lowest man in the totem pole. And my thought was, well, why can't you pin Penta? I guess he's a tag team, ROH tag team champion, but like maybe you want to protect Phoenix, but then I would say let's protect Bandido after, but then Penta's probably the one who you get the most pushback as far as taking the L.
Has Bandido been won on? I don't think he's won on Dynamite since he's signed with this company.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's just as good. He's just as important as Grand Metalik, you know.
Yeah, so he did have to do the JOB there. But what'd you think about the Callis promo?
I thought it was good. You know, got a lot of heat. A lot of people are just like going bonkers over it and the heat he got. He got a heat, but there's a difference though. I want people to. It's so funny. People, probably a lot of these fans that post that didn't really watch the territory days. The difference when they would cut to crowd shots of people booing Callis, they're laughing and they're just smiling about it. Go to the territory days. There's venom in those people's eyes.
Yeah, but that's not wrestling anymore. We're in we're so much more a part of the audience participation of this stuff than back.
That's my point. Like, this is just we're booing as part of the act. A lot of people are booing. We're booing too. It's just fun to boo. So it's not like it's heat, but not like heat. You know what I mean?
But I think that's fine for today because you're not going to get that heat from the territory days. We understand.
No, we already ruined all that.
Yeah, yeah, it's entertainment now, right? It's sports entertainment. It's what they try and do. Like, they don't want that because, you know, then you have fans being unruly and you got to worry about kicking people out. And and you know, people, I know I love the heat that Dom gets as well. But you know what that Dom heat is teetering towards, though?
Hmm.
It is now audience participation to boo him before he speaks. And he plays into it like he should, like he should play into it. But at some point, there's going to be a change, and it's not going to be cool to boo Dom anymore. And it won't matter what his character does. It's just kind of the fun thing that you go do at the wrestling shows. And that's what that's where we're teetering now. This is the one time with Don Callis. Like, you know, maybe he can get it again, maybe not.
But, now it's gonna be like, hey, everyone booed him last time. We're all gonna boo him again.
Right.
But like I said, it's not gonna be like, it's not that they just freaking hate this guy. You know, this is not like, you know, that damn Ric Flair for rubbing Rick Steamboat's face in the concrete. Well,
you know, they know their role, right? The fan base knows their role to be part of the show.
Yeah, my point is, like, I know people are, you know, saying this is great heat. It's fun, but it's not like, let's relax, people. It's not like this is not like really good big heat, right? It's just fun for the television. But I say, like, you look at those, like, it was funny because, like, they kept cutting to people like booing, and there's guys laughing and just like, yeah, boo, you know. It was like, okay, these people, all right, it's fun, it's just funny to me. But I liked Takeshi there. I thought it was a great idea for him to just speak Japanese for most of it. I believe he only had like one line or two that he spoke in English. He had a good presence out there. I want to see what they're going to do, you know. And I hope Don Callis's new family, whoever that's going to be, if it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be BCC. I don't think Moxley wants that. Whoever's going to be the surround Takeshita, don't make it Jericho Appreciation Society with a bunch of goofballs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Make it some serious people. Like, let's get, you know, let's make it a real serious stable here of some badasses. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. Some of the other stuff that they did to kind of follow up on the anarchy in the arena. Matt Jackson is in the back with his brother and Adam Page. And he's talking about, you know, never really wanting to burn a man's face before in his life. And that was he was so mad that that's what he wanted to do at anarchy.
What did you think about the exploding boot? Super cake.
I was joking with Andrew Zarian, and we were both like, hey, that explosion was bigger than the Moxie Kenny Omega match that, remember, yeah, the exploding ring or whatever. Like, there was more explosion in his foot.
I see a lot of people talking about that super kick, and it was a visual boom, big old explosion, like, wow. But who did he kick? Was it Moxley?
Yes, I think it was Moxley. I think it was Moxley.
So Moxie gets kicked. One, it's not the finish. Two, there's no like burns on him. There's no like people trying to throw water on him to protect him or some towels around his face. They just continue to wrestle. So ultimately, it was a nice firework, but ultimately, it just meant nothing.
Well, and it was one of two times that someone took fire to the face. The other one was Jericho set somebody's face on fire.
Oh yeah,
like, so they use this, you know, they went to the well twice on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is where we veer into silliness, and where I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, we're trying to get Hangman, you know, back to being an ass kicker, back to being the cowboy. And the Dark Order come out, and they're like, you're hanging out with your new best friends. Instead of Hangman going like, come on, like, let's not act like children. We're grown ass men. Like, you know, we can have friends. He was so worried that he hurt their feelings. And I'm like, this is exactly the road that we went down, and he lost all of his steam. Why are we following this again?
Yeah. I couldn't believe this happened. Then this big program that they have, this big feud, these two groups, and now you got the undercard baby faces, sad boo-boo face over that their buddy's hanging out with his old friends again. Like, again, with the CW network drama stuff that they like to do. It's just, who cares, man? And honestly, people like John Silver and Alex Reynolds as a tag team. How about you just have them wrestle and win some freaking matches? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Evil Uno, go throw him on ROH. He doesn't need to be around the Dynamite show.
But let Alex and Silver win some matches and just build up to a match with FTR. Just do something else. Like, let's get away from this crap. You're right.
All right. So then the tag team titles. So the tag team title match with FTR beating Lethal and Jarrett. So the fallout of that is Jay White and Juice Robinson are in the ring, and they call out FTR. And, you know, FTR had saved Ricky Starks from their beating, so now there's beef, and they're making fun of FTR, and FTR comes out. And Jay White is, for his amount of TV time, I thought his talking hit it out of the park. It's just been an absolute asshole. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys came here to apologize. Great. And then, boom, Juice with the quarters. Dax goes down, and they beat up Cash. And Ricky Starks comes out for the save. And it looks like Ricky against Jay in a match next week. So kind of tag titles adjacent. FTR was involved in this. I don't know where this goes. I don't know if it's going to be Jay and Juice as a tag team, or if this sounds is like just it. For Ricky Starks, or if there's going to be a six-man thing involved and we get another person from Bullet Club Gold.
That's what I think's involved.
So we'll see what happens there, but that was the follow-up to FTR keeping the tag team title. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still Ricky Starks kind of, you know, in the middle here when there's got to be something better for him.
Oh, yeah, they're wasting Ricky Starks. What's going to be, I think, a new Bullet Club Gold member is going to debut and join them. It's going to end up being some six-man tag matches out of this, and it's also going to lead to Jay White, Juice Robinson challenging for the tag title, which that match is going to be really, really good, as long as they don't try to put some special guest referees and all this kind of wackiness involved. Let's let it be a wrestling match. It'll be great. Did you catch Excalibur's blunder during all this?
Well, what'd he say?
When Juice sucker punches Dax and the coins go flying, he goes, he hits him with the roll of quarters.
Oh, they and never, we didn't know what was in his hand before?
They never zoomed in what it was. We knew it was coin. We didn't know exactly what the currency was. And then they finally show a close-up. It is a roll of quarters. Like, dude, you suck, bro. I don't understand how they voted this guy commentator of the year, but, yeah, whatever. Anyways, it's just, yeah, I thought that was funny. But I thought Jay White was really good here. Juice is kind of like a wacky guy. He's kind of, you know, they need – so I don't know who's going to join Bullet Club Global. I was trying to think. Maybe Kenta, he'll lose the United States, right? So maybe he'll join. I don't know. Maybe he'll join it. I don't know what's going to happen. But – I don't know. Jeremy can tell us all that. He probably has like an idea.
Yeah, Jeremy was he was very happy with a segment that he and Stephen Conway had on Speaking of Strong Style, because what I didn't mention was in the promo with Hangman, they had mentioned that Kenny is not in the country. And so they said, well, he's also not in Canada, which is kind of like, oh, he must be in Japan because Dominion is this weekend. So Jeremy's like polishing his, you know, the rings on his fingers going like, yeah, I got that one. Yeah. He and Steven cover that stuff so closely. It's kind of cool. You would think because, you know, New Japan doesn't have like a television show, right? So it's not like they're booking for a TV show. Everything happens within the existence of their house shows and their big shows. And so the following New Japan like that is a little bit different than following for the professional wrestling in the US. So I think it's pretty cool how they can do that.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about Collision and CM Punk. I'm sure we'll get another. Like, I you know what I want? Now that we've gotten three in a row, I think it's been three in a row. I want a new one all the way up until Collision. I just want the same Tony Khan. Like, I just want it now as a joke. Just give us the same Tony Khan. Maybe he can even be wearing the same clothes and just like, boom, 15-second announcement and the whole thing. Why not? Just go for it all the way. Then we talked about Statlander. She got the video package, and then she had the match with Nyla Rose, and it was there to get a big win. And she did the front, the flip off the top rope. I was really worried for both of them with that one. but everyone was fine, and she got the win. And then we had the world title follow-up, which was not really much.
No, not at all.
MJF got a promo after the match. We had Darby and Orange Cassidy beat the Gates of Agony. Actually kind of like those guys. Like the look,
yeah, they have potential, definitely.
Yeah, the look and everything. I was like, wow, those guys are really entertaining, and there's something there, you know. And it was the optics of these big dudes beating up on these little baby faces was cool too. And so Darby and Orange Cassidy got the win there, and then Hook did a promo with Tony Schiavone, but he couldn't even really do the promo because he wasn't right when he was about to speak. Drillistico and Preston Vance, and I'm happy that Excalibur was there for Drillistico, because I was like, which one is? I was trying to go back in my mental lucha Rolodex, going like, which one? Oh, Drillistico, that's right. And they jumped Hook, and Jungle Boy saved him, and they dapped up. I was like, are they turning him here? No, dapped him up. And that was it. No Sammy Guevara. You know, maybe they gave him the week off to be with his wife, who they mentioned, who was pregnant on the show, on the pay-per-view. So not much coming out of the world title, just a little glimpses here and there of what happened.
Yeah, not much coming out, which kind of par for the course, AEW. Jungle Boy Hook putting them together back as a tag team. I was kind of excited. I'm like, is Hook going to talk? He needs something new from Hook here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You put and the no. two guys. What if Jungle Boy's the mouthpiece for the tattoo?
This is going to be. Oh, my God. Poor Jungle Boy. The guy that says he doesn't like to talk is going to have to carry a segment. The talking segment. Jungle Boy needs to be on a single run. We already saw him in tag teams. And we also, Hook needs to be doing something else, and then I guess they feel like this is going to be a winning combination. I know the ratings were, their segments was pretty strong, I believe, when they were teaming, but I'd say it's time to kind of elevate Hook a little more and feature him more.
Well, what was the teenage magazine, like that Scott Baio was on, Tiger Beat? They need to bring back Tiger Beat for Jungle Boy and Hook.
Hook should be on the Collision with that group, I think. Would be best.
All the sharks are in that group, though.
No, he's a kid they would like, I would think, and Jungle Boy probably needs to be with his buddies, the Bucks, but I don't think he would want to be over there on that side. Is Rusha suspended for beating the hell out of
I don't know. They said something about that he wasn't able to be there for some reason.
I'm guessing because they won the business and beat the hell out of Jungle Boy. I guess he got busted for that. Which he should. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Rampage. Mark your calendars. Vikingo, Drusco, and Commander. That's going to be a barn burner.
Commander got pushed off the rope.
And then who I said did it? Jay White.
Yeah.
I called it. Yep. Right?
You can do like Jeremy now and do the thing where you shine up your rings and
no, I already know stuff. Let's get check this out. I predict in this three-way.
What already Vikingo, happened?
Vikingo won't lock up.
Oh, okay.
Because the kids know how to. Yeah. None of those guys do.
Yeah. Well, when Conan was on with Dave and I, he was just like, "Yeah, Commander doesn't know how to do anything. He's so green."
Yeah.
But, he has to learn how to wrestle, but he's already over, and so it's good for him, and he can still, learn how to wrestle or whatever, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to learn. He's going to do the same shit. Let's be honest. He already thinks he's a superstar. He's not going to want to learn much.
Okay, so before we get to the last thing I want to talk about, which is this Adam Cole and Britt Baker segment. So I'll tell you the discussion I had with Dave. It was actually after the Q&A, and it was me, Dave, Brian, Corey Lieb was driving. Who else? Jeremy was there as well. I don't think if there's anybody else who was with us that I'm forgetting. It's late now, so I'm like trying to do this.
You know who was winning in all this?
What?
Crystal, when she had her spa day.
That's yeah, she was.
She's winning.
She was. She did. She had a good time at the show. But.
I enjoyed your guys' pictures. I love the birthday girl cup picture of you.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Though, you know what Crystal's favorite moment was in the whole show? When Christian came up for surprise and he had that look on his face like he outsmarted everybody after Wardlow did the big thing off the crash and burn. That was a fantastic spot live. But yeah, when Christian sneaks up, he's like, oh yeah, remember? I there's a match going on and I'm in this match. That was her favorite part.
What do you think about Wardlow, who's like, his promo on this Dynamite was like, hey, Luchasaurus, you want some? Come get some. I'm like, bro, we just saw you take him out off a ladder through two tables. Like, why do we still want to see Luchasaurus? He couldn't even beat up an old man with a bad neck.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Not on my list of, you know, the top 10 matches I want to see.
Yeah, yeah.
So I basically asked Dave about our conversation. I said, I was saying that, you know, I think Britt can still improve. And you were saying that she might just be who she is as a wrestler. And Dave said, you know, very like he wasn't burying anybody, but he had a very smart comment. And he's like, if she was working five times a week, I would agree with you. Like, but she's not wrestling enough to where she could get really, 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 really good. He didn't say that she wasn't going to get any better, but he was basically saying the way that she would get really, 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 really good is to just wrestle much more than she's currently wrestling.
Yeah. Well, yeah. More reps would help her. Like, she should be on all those house show rules, whatever they call them.
You mean the one every 4 weeks?
Yeah. Well, it's still better than nothing. Like,
I mean, are they even going to do them now that they have Collision?
I don't know. All I know is that Toni Storm defend her title.
She is.
She never said who.
No, she didn't. I thought someone was going to come in. Like, they tricked us, because every time someone comes in on the interview, like, they're listening in, and I was like, oh, I wonder who she's going to face, because we're going to see this person next, and then that person did not come.
It's probably going to be Sky Blue. Toni Khan was rattling his pockets, his keys. He's like, it's going to be Sky Blue for sure.
All right, last segment here on Cole and Britt versus Jericho and Saraya. This was, I mean, Saraya doesn't wrestle very often, so she, you know, she's cold in the ring. She's just off, and Britt did not have Britt was like a half a second behind on just about everything she did, including when Saraya was near the ropes and Britt was going to come from behind and schoolboy. And Saraya had to look back to see if she was still going to come. She's like, where are you?
Yeah, this is kind of like the match. That's kind of the standard Britt performance. She's She's a really awkward worker.
Unfortunate. You know, this was a good opportunity for them to really actually do one better from Double or Nothing. Because, you know, the audience, I think the audience was jazzed up for that Battle Royal. And the Cole and Jericho match just brought them down. And they, at that point, they weren't really getting back up except for the shortcuts with the tag team title match and the high spots with the Wardlow thing. It was more like, you know, you had us in the first match, now you don't, and we're only going to give it to you for these big moments. But then by the end of the last two matches, I thought the crowd was back. But I would put the blame on Cole and Jericho for the crowd just kind of just sitting on their hands for some of that stuff.
Well, I mean, Acclaimed wasn't over. You went up to go bathroom, I think, and just hang out, talk to people. Like, you didn't sit. Isn't that sad? It's so sad that at one point in time, the Acclaimed was getting all this great reaction. It was the hottest act on the show. Now you're getting up to go talk to people.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the match, because all I wanted to see, I wanted to hear the rap, right? And he got a Dom Mysterio and Rhea Ripley mentioned in the rap.
Yeah, WWE was over in that pay-per-view. They're chatting against Buddy Murphy, against Rhea and Dom and all that stuff.
And then I wanted to see the entrance. And once I saw those two things, I was like, okay, it's probably not going to get any better than that. This will be the time where I go use the restroom. And then so a couple people had grabbed me and then I didn't even see the finish, because, but I also knew that you know, nothing was going to happen in this match. The Acclaim weren't going to win the titles. It wasn't meant for that. If it was, we would actually had a build instead of yet another surprise.
But now they're still on a quest for those titles?
Yeah,
and they really want Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn is sad. He's like, I let you guys down. They're like, no, you did not.
So
we're
going to
show you so much you did not let us down that we're going to go win those titles.
We start their journey by losing clean for the titles at the pay-per-view. To continue it?
And you know what the strategy should be?
What the fuck is going on here?
The strategy should literally be, how about we just don't tag Billy into this match?
And how? No. How about this? Since the heels give him a stipulation that they could pick, just pick one instead of not picking one.
Yeah.
That was like, they don't know what's going on with this damn gimmick. This house.
X-Pac in our corner. That should be the stipulation. X-Pac.
I like Billy Gunn. I'll keep him.
I love him as a personality. I'm not sure. You know, he's just so much bigger than everybody else in the ring.
Yeah,
but yeah. So, anyways, Adam Cole, Britt Baker, they win this match. Unfortunately, it was not much better than what we saw at Double or Nothing. And it kind of ended the show a little flat, I would say, much like it kind of detoured the pay-per-view a little bit and made it a little flat.
Yeah, now these guys also didn't come up, but they should have bandages or something wrapped to look
Jericho
like.
Jericho, his eye was blackened. So
oh, yeah, sure. He did have a. Yeah. That's because he did, when he took the Canadian Destroyer, the chain fell on his head, on his eye.
Is that what
it was? Yeah, or something. It was weird, like, maybe after the attack on Britt, maybe that could have led to the mixed tag match, which led the heel should have won the mixed tag match. So then at the pay-per-view, Britt could wrestle Saray in a singles grudge match, and then Jericho and Cole can also have a singles grudge match, or Britt could wrestle Saray on the following Dynamite in a singles grudge match, whatever, you know, if you don't want to add, but they probably could have fit it in. They kept it short enough. So this program is kind of booked kind of backwards, in my opinion. So
a lot of stuff. I feel like a lot of stuff is booked backwards.
I felt like this was supposed to be the like Adam Cole ascension to like top babyface level. I don't think it really worked. But I still think he's probably moving on to MJF next, I would believe.
Yeah.
It seems like that's where you need to go with him at this point.
Well, I can tell you the people that I saw the show with, they were like, I want to see Darby instead of Cole at this moment. That's what they came out of that show saying.
Yeah, but they really didn't follow up with anything. Darby, then he won a tag match. You know? Yeah,
he wasn't even seemingly that mad that he kind of got screwed in that match.
Yeah, and you know, why can't MJF come out for a live promo, you know, and stuff? They had like everyone else came out for a live promo. But you just had like a little backstage, you know. It'd be nice to see like what's next for him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess the thought is like maybe we, you know, we don't need to really kickstart a ton more angles and you kind of let what happened sit a little bit. I felt that way very much about the WWE show too, where they didn't really like, you didn't sense that they were really setting anything up yet. You know, they have their qualifiers and all that stuff, but like, you know, they brought AJ over from SmackDown. You know, they're in
already
wrestled. And I just felt like it was like, I get it, but it was kind of lazy. There was no reason. I just assume whenever I see stuff like that, I just assume like, man, doing two TVs in a pay-per-view must be really hard, because then you got to do that pay-per-view the next, or that TV the next day. Same thing with AEW in a sense. It's like
Shinsuke beating Bronson Reed.
I didn't like that at all. I was so mad. I was like, does Vince just see this guy as a fat guy? Like, come on.
He's fantastic. I don't know. I hope not, but I know Shinsuke is one of Vince's favorites, which is interesting, but he likes
Michael,
the old
Michael Jackson, baby. Vince
he likes
still
that.
In the 80s.
Yeah. He's like, what if we got you four other more brothers? Shinsuke 5.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, we're done here. Like I said,
that's close. I mean, here.
Well, just, I mean, I feel like, you know, I feel like these guys putting on these wrestling shows, because I have to do two shows on Friday, and you got your show coming up this weekend as well. So we got more stuff to do. But hey, maybe we'll actually get to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think Saturday night would be I threw it by the boss, and she was, you know, she didn't say yes or no. She kind of was just like talking about something else. So I think I got it.
Well,
we have a date night tomorrow, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, there you go. You guys have fun. I have a graduation party to go to, so I'll sort of let you know what time I can get out of that, if we can do it this week. If not this week, then, you know, we'll still figure out another.
Would Sunday be too crazy for you? Sunday evening?
No, probably not. Depending on how late you're thinking.
Yeah, or maybe even I have a date night Friday, unless I moved it to Saturday. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, so for John LaRocca, I am Double G. You got a little inside view on our weekend plans there. we'll see you when we see you. Peace out.